Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 3 and verse 17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Is there a source of authority? There are sources of authority in the world. We deal with them on a daily basis. Sources of authority in our government, sources of authority in our workplace. There are sources of authority in the church. They're not inherent authority, but delegated authority. But there is an inherent authority, one being that has inherent authority, and that is the God of heaven. And so Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 17, we need to appeal to the authority that comes from Christ, from the God of heaven. Paul said about his own nation, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." They did not recognize the authority of the one that they claimed to worship. You might be surprised or not. If you look around, you won't be. But in our world today, in the religious world, there are many people who do not follow the authority of the New Testament. Sometimes it's intentional and sometimes it's not. But we must ask ourselves the question, why would we not want to do everything we did in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? When we do that and we give thanks to God through Him, we are glorifying Christ and we're glorifying the Father in all the things that we do. Some do not believe that there is any authority in the Scripture, that whatever we decide to do according to principles or feelings that we have about Scripture, that they have an equal standing with the things that God has commanded. Tonight we want to look very carefully at this one verse and ask simply the question, what does it mean to do all in the name of the Lord? First of all, we need to consider the source of the authority. Paul identified the Lord as the source of authority, and he said, whatever you do it in His name. We're familiar with the expression, if a law enforcement officer came to the door and knocked on the door and said, "Open in the name of the law." He's not saying, "My name is law." He's saying, "Do it by the authority that the law gives me to demand that you open that door." We all understand that. We don't have a problem with it. But the same is true of the statement in Colossians 3 and verse 17 regarding the source of authority. We could go a lot further in the New Testament, but in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, when Peter told that lame man that he encountered to arise and walk, he said, "Arise and walk in the name of the Lord." Not by speaking the name of the Lord, but because of the authority that came from the name of the Lord and through the name of the Lord. In Acts 4 and verse 18, the Jewish leaders told the apostles not to speak anymore in the name of the Lord. Now, obviously, they were speaking about the Lord and they were talking about His name when they did that, but there's a deeper meaning, or an additional meaning as well, and that is by His authority. It was the Lord that had told them to go and preach. If you read a little bit further in the book of Acts in chapter 5, we find that the angel of the Lord came and opened the prison doors. The apostles had been arrested and put in jail. And the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors at night, brought them forth and said, "Go, stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Well, what authority did the angel have to tell them to do that? He had the Lord's authority because the Lord sent him. And so we find that doing something in the name of the Lord in the New Testament meant to do it, or to do it in the name of the Lord meant to do it by His authority in Acts 10 and verse 48. What did Paul say to Peter say to those of the household of Cornelius? He commanded them to be baptized by what authority? In the name of the Lord. And we find that pattern repeated multiple times. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? At the end of Jesus' ministry, after His resurrection, before His ascension, He said, well, actually it was before His crucifixion, He said, "All authority Let me back up. No, it was before the ascension, after the resurrection. He said, all authority hath been given me. Where? Matthew 28:18. In heaven and in earth. All authority. So if I'm going to do something in his name today, it means I'm going to do it by his authority. And it makes sense that later Peter would say the things that he did in commanding the household of Cornelius to be baptized in the name of the Lord. When Jesus began his ministry, the first miracle that he performed was turning the water to wine in Cana of Galilee. And do you remember what Mary told the people that were there? Whatsoever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. It appears to be, and it is thought that this was a marriage that was family related, but Jesus was a guest there. He was not in charge. Mary, it seems, was the one that was in charge. But she said, you do what he tells you to do. She knew who Jesus was. She had known since before the day that he was born. When Jesus was baptized, the voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But then fast forward to the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. When Peter, James, and John were there, Moses and Elijah had appeared. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets. Peter, being the quick-speaking person that he was, said, let us build three altars here. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus. The voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Moses. No. Hear you Elijah. No. Hear ye him. Why? The law of Moses was going to be nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. The prophets were until John, Jesus said. Jesus had authority, and when he had ascended to sit down at the right hand of the throne of the Father, and even right before that, he said, I have all authority. So if we're going to do things that would be pleasing to Jesus, should we not do them according to his word because he has all authority? The Hebrews writer said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So it makes sense when Jesus said, I have all authority. All authority hath been given me in heaven and in earth. Everything that happened thereafter, it makes sense. Because it was done in his name, that is, by his authority. Authority does not come from men. Matthew 15 and verse 9, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Jesus said, men do not have authority. Whether it be manuals or disciplines, confessions of faith, counsels, whatever it might be. Doctrine does not come from the mind of men. Doctrine, appropriate, approved Christian behavior and action comes from the Lord Jesus Christ because he has all authority. So we see the source of authority, but what about the scope of authority? Well, that's told us in our text also. Whatever you do in word or deed, the scope is whatsoever is being done. What is left out of the word whatsoever? Nothing whatsoever. It includes everything. Jesus told his disciples to teach men to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Matthew 28 and verse 20. He promised Peter that he would give him the keys of the kingdom so that he could bind on earth what had been bound in heaven and so that he could loose on earth what had been loosed in heaven, Matthew 16 and verse 19. How could Jesus tell Peter that unless Jesus had all authority? He did. He had all authority. And the scope of that authority was all things, whatever had been decided and would be decided in heaven. Jesus said that we would be his friends on this condition. If you do whatsoever I command you, John 15 and verse 14. In chapter 14 and verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if I want to be the friend of Jesus, who will be my authority? Will it be my own desires or pleasures, or will it be the teaching of Jesus Christ? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, the scope of our authority. You know, the Bible says in 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. John said, if we do not stay with the book, if we do not stay with what Jesus has taught us, we do not have the Son. We do not have salvation. But if we have the doctrine of Christ, we have both the Father and the Son. Why is that the case? Because the doctrine of Christ is the only doctrine that matters, because he is the one who has all authority. Whatsoever you do, in word or in deed. Peter said that when we speak, that we are to speak as the oracles of God. Paul said that anyone who preached any other gospel other than what they had preached about Jesus Christ would be accursed. Galatians 1, 6 through 12. The children of Israel began to speak half of the language of Ashdod and in the Old Testament back in Nehemiah 13, 24. And what happened? It got them in trouble, didn't it? And in our world today, there are many who speak in a language that is different from the Bible. And we wonder what they're saying, what they're trying to say about the Lord, because it's not what we're reading in Scripture. You know, our speech can either convince or betray whether or not we are a Christian and whether we're following the words of Christ. You remember when Peter was out there in that garden and Jesus had been taken captive? Someone came to Peter and said, you're one of them, your speech, the King James says, bewrayeth thee, but we would say betrayeth. Your speech betrayeth you. Now, they were talking probably more about his dialect or accent than anything else. But it could also have had something to do with what he was saying. But our speech can either betray who we are, or it could confirm who we are. So what we do, whatever we do, is supposed to be by the authority of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, Paul said that we are to do all things to the glory of God. Why was Cain's sacrifice rejected in the Old Testament? Because it wasn't offered by the authority of God. The Hebrews writers tells us that Abel offered his sacrifice by faith, and Cain didn't. How does faith come? It comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Therefore, if Abel offered his sacrifice by faith, it was because he had heard God's instruction, believed it, and obeyed it, and followed it. He had respected the authority of God. Cain didn't. And that's why he was rejected. Saul offered a sacrifice. I'm going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13, if you would like to read along, beginning at verse 8. Saul offered a sacrifice on one occasion. He was not authorized to do so. He had good intentions. But do good intentions done in, I started to say in the name of the Lord, but that wouldn't be correct. Do good intentions done, claiming that they are done for the Lord, does that make them right? Listen to what happened to Saul. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me and that thou camest not within the days appointed and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now the kingdom shall not continue. But thy kingdom Now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. We know it would be David. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Saul was of the wrong tribe. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't allowed to offer sacrifice. Oh, but I'll do it because the times are troublesome, and I know this will be a substitute. I will be a substitute, but I'll do this thing. He thought it was good. He had good intentions, but his actions were wrong. He didn't follow the Lord's will. Even our thoughts, the Bible say, are to be under the authority of Christ. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, we are to have the mind of Christ. Philippians 4 and verse 8, we are to think about those things which are good. So the scope of authority? The scope of authority is all things, everything. Jesus, again, Matthew 28 and verse 20, told his disciples to teach men to observe all things that he had commanded. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. He wrote to them to determine whether or not they had been obedient in all things. Not some, but in all things. On one occasion of the Old Testament, another occasion, Saul told Samuel that he had done all of the Lord's will, but yet he had not. And I won't turn and read that one, but in 1 Samuel 15, you remember that God had told Saul to go out to destroy the Philistines and to kill Agag. And he didn't do it. He kept the best. He brought it back. He spared Agag and the best of the flocks and the herds. Samuel confronted him. Saul began to make excuse. He did what people always do. He tried to blame someone else. Well, the people. The people wanted me to do it. He did not obey. And that's really the point. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So we've seen the source of authority and we've seen the scope of authority. Let's finish with a consideration of the seriousness of authority. Look down in the same chapter in Colossians 3 and look beginning at verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how the world views us. It doesn't matter what we have. We can either obey the Lord, we can follow him, or we can turn away. We can accept his guidance, accept his authority, or we can try to substitute our own. But if we do, we will be judged. No partiality. There is no respect of persons. Paul makes it clear that it is a serious thing to violate, to go beyond the authority of Christ. No man is so big, so rich, so smart, so powerful that he doesn't have to obey God. There are a lot of leaders who let their position kind of go to their heads, don't they? And they began to think that there's nothing that they could ever do wrong. The reality is they have made a tremendous mistake. When we do not have authority for what we do, we will have to answer for that very fact in the day of judgment. We all know Matthew 7, 21. Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He knew them as a person, but he did not know them in salvation, because they sought to be their own authority and did not submit to his. He continued, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth not these sayings of mine and doeth them, or heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We hear that all the time, but let's not forget the commentary that comes right after it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Why did he teach them as one having authority? Because he did. Because he did. Those who add to or take away from the word of Christ will suffer the consequences of their actions, and the Bible is very clear about that. I love the fact that, and I don't know if it was intended this way or not, probably not. It's probably a coincidence of the way that our Bible was put together and arranged, but all the way back in the beginning of the Bible in the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, and then right in the middle of our Bibles in Proverbs 30 and verse 6, and then right at the end of our Bible in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, we have in all three places, in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end, the warning, do not add to my word or take away from it. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord, which I command you, God said. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2. Proverbs 30 and verse 6. Add not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Revelation 22, 18. Speaking about the book of the Revelation. For I test and find to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy, the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and out of the things which are written in this book. So in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end, what are we told? Do not add to his word. Do not take away from his word. Why? Because all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and in earth. Because whatsoever we do, in word or deed, we are to do all in his name, that is, by his authority. We remember those who did not respect God's authority. We think about Nadab and Abihu back in Leviticus 10, that they took either of them his censer and put fire therein and incense thereon and offered up strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And fire went out from the presence of the Lord, and they died. They died in the presence of the Lord. Why? It was a presumptuous sin. They weren't disobeying a command. A command regarding that fire had not yet been given. It was a presumptuous sin. Well, I think we could do this. Let's just do it this way. Does that ever happen in religion today? Well, I enjoy this. This feels good to me. Let's just do this. Instead of asking, what does the Lord want me to do? Nadab and Abihu learned very quickly and the hard way. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rebelled against Moses, but they were rebelling against God, and they were rebelling against the leadership that God had instilled in Moses and in Aaron. The ground opened up and swallowed them as a message to all of Israel that the Lord is our authority. Uzzah died when he touched the ark, 2 Samuel 6. He thought he was doing something good. You can understand, probably never thought twice about it, but they're going along, the ark is on a cart, wasn't supposed to be. You know how the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be moved, right? Had rings in the side, poles were to go through, the priests were to, they were to carry the ark on those poles. They'd put it on a cart. One of the oxen stumbled, the cart started rocking a little bit, and it looked like it was going to fall over, so Uzzah did what probably most people would do. He reached out to steady it because he respected that ark so much. David became angry with the Lord. Why have you caused this breach in Israel today? Why did you do this, Lord? David should have gone home and looked in the mirror. Because one of the things that God had commanded all of the kings when they became king was to take the book of the law and to write a copy for themselves so that they could read it and so that they could know what it said in the beginning. If David had taken the time to do it and had known how that ark was supposed to be carried, he may have known and just forgotten. But if he would have remembered how that ark was supposed to be carried and instructed that it be done according to the will of the Lord, that man Uzzah would still have been alive. He would not have died that day. Wasn't the Lord. It was David. He set up the scenario where that man trying to do something good lost his life. In Acts 19, we read of the sons of Sceva who fled from a house naked and wounded when they had tried to cast out an unclean spirit without authority. They tried to cast out that spirit in the name of the Lord, but the Lord had not given them that authority. Whatever you do, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So what we've seen tonight is the source of authority, the scope of authority, and of course, the seriousness of authority. What our plea is that whatever we do, that we all are able to give book, chapter, and verse, that we can say that we are doing it in the name of the Lord, that we can do what Paul said, that we can prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. I know from Scripture that I must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 8 and verse 24, Jesus told us that. Jesus taught that we must be willing to repent from sins and not to try to judge other people because we think that we're better than they are, Luke 13, 3 and 5. I know that in Acts 17 and verse 30, that principle is expanded upon, that God commands all men everywhere to repent. Well, who has the authority for that command? Well, it's the Lord. I know that Jesus sent his disciples out because he had all authority to preach the gospel and to baptize those who believed it and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever he had commanded them. Again, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I know that Jesus taught that we must be willing to confess him before men, Matthew 10. I can read that in my Bible. I know that the Lord has commanded that we sing praises. Wasn't the singing great tonight? The Lord has commanded us to sing praises to his name. The Lord has authorized that we come before him in prayer, that we observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, that we give of our means every first day of the week. These are things that we can read from the Bible. We can read it ourselves. We know those things are true. As long as we hold on to them, we can say, I'm doing those things in the name of the Lord. But Paul, look at the scope of it one last time. Paul said, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's just be sure that we do the Lord's will, not our own, not the will of our family, not the will of our boss or someone else who's pushing us. Let us do the Lord's will. And if we do, we will be rewarded greatly. If you've never obeyed the gospel, why not follow the Lord's will tonight and take hold of that salvation that has been offered to you and that is waiting for you. But if, as a child of God, you haven't been faithful, why not come back and make that right? Confessing whatever sin that might be public. The Bible tells us to pray for one another, confessing our faults. James 5 and verse 16. But whatever we do, let's do it in the name of the Lord. That is by his authority. We're going to sing. You're invited to come. It's found in the book. If we can help you, would you come as we stand?